good evening. I hope you had a happy holiday for the holiday of love to Ba'av. Before we get started, in order to unmute your phone, press asterisk or star 6 if you have any questions. And then star 6 will unmute your phone. And do it a second time to mute your phone again so that any background noise does not disturb the other callers. Please join me with the Anna Bekoach. Anna Bekoach, Gedula Chemincha, Tati Terura. The sequence is Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. The gematria is 506, which is the same gematria as the phrase Ahavat Hinam. Excuse me, Chas V'Shalom. Ahavat Hinam, which translates as unconditional love, love for no reason, sharing without an agenda. The same gematria is one of the 72 names of Hashem, Vav Shin Resh, which helps us unblock the blockages that keep us continuing to repeat the same patterns, both lifetime after lifetime and cycling within each lifetime. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufrei Shayin Sintet Nun. Two three-letter sequences. Kra Kufrei Shayin Satan Shin Tet Nun. Kra Satan means to tear up Satan, to eliminate the negativity. The same six letters can be rearranged to two words, Sha'ar Katan, which means small gates, and is a reminder to let us know the small gates that we open ourselves up to that allows Satan to enter into our life and create the chaos. Keep the small gates closed. Na Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Givavat Shamrem. Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. Two three-letter sequences. Nun Gimel Dalet has a gematria of 57, which is the Hebrew word zan, or parnasah. Parnassah is everything that we need in our life for sustenance, for maintenance, for expansion of our love. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that allows us to take back the energies that we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. Barchem Tacharem Rakame Sidkatha Tamid Gamlem Betetresh. Tzadi Tav Gimel. Tzadi Tav Gimel. The two letters that created the planet and the constellation of the month of Av, the Ka that created the sun, and the Tet that created the constellation of Leo, and also the Hebrew month of Av. The middle two letters of this six-letter sequence, the Resh and the Tzadi, connect us to the well of Miriam that provided water to the nation while in the desert. The well of Miriam connects to soulmates, which means you can strengthen your existing relationship, or if you're single, you can find your soulmate through the utilization of that sequence, Resh Tzadi. Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Na'el Adatach Tet Kuf Bet Tet Nunayin Yachid Geyeh Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Hey Zayin Kuf. This is a sequence that helps us speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah through the world, through the nations, during this, the sixth millennium. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Tzadiyutav. The sequence is the sequence of Malchut, the sequence of manifestation. All of the desires should be thought of and meditated upon. All of the lacks can be fulfilled through this sequence. And the last line, which we say in a whisper, but I will say it loudly, for the purposes of teaching. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Vaed. This sequence allows us to take the energy that we've drawn, that we may not yet have our vessel to handle, and ground that energy so it does not create chaos in our lives. And at the same time, it allows us and helps and assists us in building that vessel, so that the next time we draw this energy, we will be able to utilize it in our life rather than having to ground it because our vessel was not prepared for it. I will now read from the Zohar. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Fenenei Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Fenenehu. Kurseya Kad Salka Rashima De Arba De Yuknin Eileen Eileen Arba Shimachan Ilain Natlin Lahai Kurseya Vakurseya Itkaleo Bahu Ad Denakta Walakta Inun Inugin Vakisufin Nachata Malya Ki Ilana Demale Anfin Lakol Sitar Umaya Ivin Kevan Denachata Nefaku Elin Dalad De Yuknin Mitsuyarin Batsiyuraitu Galifin Benacharan Natsitsan Malachatan Beinun Zarin Zara Al Alma. When the throne ascends, it is marked in these four shapes. These four lofty names bear this throne, and the throne is composed of them, until the throne receives and collects these pleasures and delights. Afterwards, the throne descends fully laden, like a tree full with branches in every direction and loaded with fruits. After the throne descends, the four forms of the living creatures come out formed, engraved, illuminating, glittering and glowing, and they sow seeds over the world. An extremely esoteric verse, and the only thing I will be saying about that tonight is to understand that the throne is a metaphor, and the four faces are metaphors. for the process of creation and the manifestation of creation. Understand that there is a difference between process and completion. When a fruit is budded on a tree and starts to grow where we can see it, it is usually bitter. And yet when it is ripe, it is sweet. What's the difference between the fruit at the beginning of its process and the fruit at the end of its process? This is a metaphor to understand our life in this world. Our life appears to be bitter, appears to be filled with pain, appears to be filled with suffering. It does not have to be this. This is what the wisdom of Kabbalah will help us achieve. The life of the world to come in this world. Just to make a few announcements, within the next week to 10 days, you will start to be able to download these classes. They will be up on the website, and as well as you'll be able to download the handouts from the classes. Feel free to let your friends know that, as well as to utilize the website, because all of it is free. Donations, of course, are requested, because we live in a world that expects what it expects. Before I start tonight's class, which is going to be on Shuvah, we're going to discuss the pattern of our weekly classes. Starting next week, Tuesday at 7:45, the class will be a beginning class. It will go approximately 15 weeks. It will go from next Tuesday, which is August 11th, I believe, and it will run through the first week or so of November. Most of the holidays this year are on the weekends, and I do not think they will interfere with the classes on Tuesdays. Not that they interfere, any holiday interferes with a class of learning, but a holiday is not a time to connect to the electronic world. Please tell your friends about the beginning class starting anew. To join us physically, it will be happening on downtown in LA, in Los Angeles. The conference call will be going forward. It will be recorded, and the recordings will be made available to download. Wednesday night, we'll be continuing the advanced class, like tonight. That class starts at 10 p.m. It is taught in West Los Angeles. It will continue discussion of the Tree of Life, the glyph known as the Ten Sfirot and the 22 Hebrew letters, and the metaphors associated with each of them and how they can improve our lives. Thursday night at 10 p.m., the class will be from the Zohar. I highly recommend it that each student come and listen to the Zohar class, because the power and energy and positivity of the Zohar is not matched with any other tool in our world. Before I start tonight, does anybody have any questions? To ask a question, unmute your phone, star 6, and go ahead and ask. I promised last night that tonight we would discuss tshuva on a deeper level than we have ever discussed it. In order to understand Teshuvah, let's review what we have learned in our previous introductory classes, the beginning class about Teshuvah. Teshuvah is now. Teshuvah is a tool that metaphorically describes returning the lower hay back to the Yud Hey Vav of the Tetragrammaton name. That's a metaphor. When we make a mistake, when we do what is euphemistically referred to as a sin, when we transfer energy that we've received and should have used for positive aspects, and we use it for negative aspects, it's a metaphor for transferring that energy to the negative side. When we do that negative action, that selfish action, the desire to receive for oneself alone, a reaction to someone else, someone else's action, someone else's words, someone else's actions. They become the cause when we are reactive. We become the effect. That's what's wrong. That's the mistake. When we are reactive, we are allowing someone else to control our life. We are not choosing to do this action. We are letting someone else choose the action for us. Cause and effect is really what this world is about. What this world was created for is for us to be a co-creator with Hashem. And therefore, the metaphors that we've talked about of creating our life and everything and every person in it, we are the creator of that life. We can choose to be a reactor, meaning the cassette of that life plays out, doesn't change. It's just preordained, and that's what happens. That's what it means when we are reactive to someone else. When we do that, we have separated the physical world, the lower world, from the spiritual worlds. The Yud Kei Vav and the final Hey has been separated. Tshuva, translated as repentance, but that is an ultimate corruption. Tshuva means to return. Tashuv, return the hay. Return the physical world to reconnect to the flow of spiritual energy that it is always meant to receive. When we do that negative action and separate the hay from the Yud Kei Vav, the flow of spiritual beneficence is limited in our life. When we do tshuva, when we return the hay, we reconnect to that flow of spiritual beneficence. We have a number of midrashim. This is not part of what has been taught before, but we have a number of midrashim that explain and teach and give us some deeper understandings about tshuva, about returning that hay. The Midrashim tell us that when the angels were arguing, should man be created? And the angel of love and the angel of anger and the various angels were arguing whether man should be created. And while they were arguing, the Midrash teaches us that God created man. But one of the descriptions in that Midrash is one of the angels, and I apologize, I don't remember which one, came to God and said, do not make man because he will sin. Not the sin in the context of the Western civilization and how it perceives sin, but sin in the concept of making a mistake, of transferring energy to the negative side. Man will sin. God's answer to this angel was, I have created tshuva. Throughout the writings of the Nevi'im, the prophets, constantly, frequently, continuously, almost in every book, the word tshuva is used. Every prophet has said, repent, corruption, corrupted translation. Every prophet has said, do tshuva. Tshuva is a goal and a tool. Tshuva, we have a statement from the sages in the Talmud that a man who has done tshuva stands at a higher level than a tzaddik, a righteous person, a person who's never made a mistake. Now let's understand, there is no such person who has never made a mistake. Yet, the person who's made a mistake and fallen to a lower spiritual level, by doing tshuva, by returning the hay, rises to a higher spiritual level than before the mistake. Tshuva is a tool that allows us to bring our spiritual consciousness to an expanded state, to a higher state, to a state where we can see the good in the mistake and elevate it. In the introductory class, we speak of tshuva and its process. Tonight, I'm going to discuss, well, first off, I refer you to the recording of the class, introductory class on tshuva, which will be on the website, hopefully next week, for sure the week after, prior to the month of Elul. And Elul is coming. Elul is part of this process of tshuva. But please understand, tshuva is something that can be done each and every day. One of the tools that we are taught in Kabbalah is to do something called Cheshbon HaNefesh. Cheshbon is a Hebrew word that means calculate, calculation. Take stock, evaluate. HaNefesh means the soul, the lowest level of soul. Cheshbon HaNefesh is something that it is recommended that we do each and every day. At the end of the day, prior to saying the nighttime Shema, if you do this, or if you don't do this, prior to falling asleep, evaluate your day. leading up to the month of Tishrei, leading up to the holidays of Tishrei, leading up to Rosh Hashanah, which is the ultimate judgment for the year, for next year, based on what you did this year. God is not a fool, as we know. God is not going to give people energy for next year when they've abused their energy this year. Not when he's sitting on the throne of judgment and has no mercy. Strict judgment is truly a goal. If you are only doing good things, why do you want to wait for your reward? Why do you want to wait for your effect of your action? You don't. But if you're doing negative actions, if you're making mistakes, you don't want strict judgment. You don't want the effect of your negativity, because it's going to be chaos in your life. It's going to be pain and suffering, chas v'shalom. Tshuva is a process that allows us to return the hay to the spiritual world, to reconnect it. It allows us to go back to the future. This is a very deep concept, and it takes a lot of thought. What does it mean to return, to go back to the future? We are living a cassette called our life. It's a movie. It plays out. There are unlimited potential movies of our life. Some of those movies, chas v'shalom, has us in total chaos. Some of those movies, chas v'shalom, has us passing this tomorrow, God forbid. Some of those movies has us living without having to die. Some of those movies have us having 100 kids. Some of those movies has us having no kids. Some of those movies has us meeting our soulmate tomorrow, today. Some of those movies have us, chas v'shalom, not meeting our soulmate. Some of those movies have different processes. So which potential life do you wish to create? You are the co-creator with Hashem. Which life do you want to create? Tshuva allows you to create the movie such that there is no chaos in your life. Let's understand what happens with tshuva. Let's understand without tshuva what takes place in the movie of our life. I'm going to use a metaphor. I'm going to use an example of a man who has 12 children, a wonderful wife, and he is poor. He lacks financial acumen. And he goes into a business deal with a business partner who cheats him. They get into a fight. The business partner pulls out a gun and shoots him dead, God forbid. Now his widow is left with 12 children, literally living on the sufferings and charity of the society. Sounds like a horrible life. Sounds like a horrible creation. From the frame of the widow, she has created this life. But she had nothing to do with what her husband did and what the man did. Yes, she did. But it takes too long to explain that fully. So just accept for tonight and for this discussion, she has created this life of 12 children and financial destitution. She has created that by being reactive to her husband's death. The man who killed her husband lives out his life. Obviously, because he's killed a man, he's going to have sincere chaos in his life. But not right away. Hashem, in his mercy, gives us time to do tshuva. He gives us the space of time to do tshuva. The man who killed her husband lives 5 years, 10 years, feeling guilty, touching it, ignoring it, and then he reaches a point where he says, I really am sorry that I killed my business partner. I feel badly about it. I know I am the cause of this widow's destitution. These 12 children are growing up in a horrible environment that I've created by killing her husband. I want to do tshuva. And he does tshuva, the full and the complete tshuva. And there are many, many levels of tshuva. There's many, many levels of the process of tshuva. He does complete tshuva. The highest level of tshuva, this highest level of tshuva is the understanding that God would testify that if he was put in that same room again with the widow's husband, with a gun in his hand, and his feelings of anger and distrust and whatever reason he pulled that trigger, God himself testifies that he would never do that again. What does it take to reach that highest level? It starts with the confession. I did wrong. It starts with him going to the widow and apologizing. How can you apologize for leaving a widow in her destitution? Yet, the first step in tshuva is called bidui, confession. Within the nighttime shema, in the ritual of saying the nighttime Shema, there are 10 steps. One of them is the vidui. The process of cheshbon hanefesh starts with the vidui. Let's look at the vidui in a little bit. Let me finish the understanding of what tshuva is. What is the process? Confess the action that you did. Own it. Know that it was wrong. Know it was wrong at such a level that it makes you sick to your stomach. The thought of it irritates you no end. You think so badly of yourself, not in the sense of berating yourself and thinking that you're worthless, but knowing that the action is not you, separate yourself from the action. Know that you are loved by God. Know that you have a work to do in this world, and you've created a blockage that you are confessing. That action needs to be separated from you. Know that your process of tshuva will accomplish this goal of having God testify that you would not do this action ever again. Therefore, the boomerang of the murder that took place, which is now circling about in the cosmos, ready to land on you, cannot find you. Because even though people continue to call you by that name, you're not the same person. And so the chaos that rightfully belongs to the person who murdered the widow's husband cannot find you. Because there's no immediate cause and effect in our world. There's a space of time in order to do tshuva. If you don't do the tshuva, the chaos will find you. If you do the tshuva, the chaos cannot find you. Because you are a different person. You are a person that Hashem is testifying. He's not the same person. He would not do that action again. Let's look at Cheshbon HaNefesh a little bit. Short discussion. Do you remember what you did? Tonight is the 16th day of Av. Do you remember what you did on the 27th day of Cheshvan? Do you remember what you did back in November? Do you remember the discussions that you had that day? Do you remember the actions that you did that day? Do you remember what you did that hurt someone? What you did that helped someone? What you did that could have helped someone that you didn't do? Do you remember that? Most of us don't even remember what we did this morning. Cheshbon HaNefesh starts with the vidui, the confession. And it literally takes the items of the confession, which we'll talk about in a minute, and list them down the path, down the column on the left. And then it looks at the 7 days of the week. Because while we're talk about today being Thursday, tonight is the beginning of Thursday, it's really Thursday or Yom Hamishi, the fifth day of the week of Shabbat. Each week of 7 days is a unity. We perceive it as a separate day, but it is also connected and unified with the Shabbat, in this case, of Ekev. In this case, the Shabbat of Ekev. The Shabbat of the heel, the Shabbat of read my email to get a sense of what Ekev is about, what the energy of this week is about, all designed to help us achieve tshuva. But we should do tshuva, and we can do tshuva each day as long as we process our actions and evaluate them. What does it mean to evaluate our actions? It means to judge them. The normal human being judges himself with mercy and judges others more harshly. I forgive myself for my actions, but do I forgive myself sufficiently that I'm willing to go to the person I hurt and ask their forgiveness? One of the steps in tshuva. Let's discuss the vidui. The vidui is a sequence of 22 statements. In the order of the Aleph Bet, and then another 22 statements in the reverse order of the Aleph Bet. We have been taught in the introductory class, the Aleph Bet is a tool to transfer metaphysical energy to assist us in the actions that we do. When we make statements in the order of the Aleph Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, etc., we are putting the world in order in Seder. This Seder. In order. When we say words in reverse order of the Aleph Bet, we are putting the world in a different order. In the order of the Aleph Bet, we are connecting to mercy. In the reverse order of the Aleph Bet, we are connecting to judgment, sweetened by mercy. The Vidui, Ashamnu, Begadnu, Begazalnu, Dibarnu, Dofi Velashon Hara. Four statements. Ashamnu, Aleph, Begadnu, Bet, Gazalnu, Gimel, Dibarnu, Dofi, Velashon Hara, Dalet. The statements are, we have been guilty, we have betrayed, we have robbed, we have spoken gossip and slander. There's more, of course, but let's just take a close look at these four. What does it mean we have been guilty? Most of us think we're not guilty. But we are guilty. We're guilty of not thinking about others, only thinking of ourselves. We're thinking about not being unified with the universe. Let alone the universe, just our partner. Let alone our partner, what about our children? Do we feel unified or do we see them as separate from us? We are guilty. All of the vidui is structured by the sages in the plural, in the first person plural. We. The nation is guilty. Why don't we say, I am guilty? Because it's possible, the sages tell us, that maybe you haven't done this particular mistake in this particular lifetime. But someone else that comes from the root of your soul has. When you do tshuva for yourself, you're also doing tshuva for the people who come from the root of your soul. All of us participated in the sin of Adam. All of us participated in the killing of Abel by Cain. All of us participated in Abel's actions that caused it necessary for him to be killed. Cain did not have to be the one, the messenger, the channel, to achieve Abel's death. Abel had to pass. Why? It's a different discussion and a longer one. But understand, the widow's husband had to die. The man who killed him did not have to be the person or the channel that killed him. Every person who dies for one of three reasons, as we've discussed in our classes on reincarnation. We are guilty. Maybe not in this lifetime, maybe not today, but we are guilty of not being in unity. We have betrayed the Gadnu. Who have we betrayed? Our desire to receive in order to share. How many actions did we do that were selfish today? How many actions did we do when we were thinking about others? We have robbed Gazelnu. Who have we robbed? We have robbed from ourselves the ability to connect to the goodness of God. Each day, before we say the nighttime Shema, or before we go to sleep, if that is not our practice, do Cheshbon HaNefesh. Take a look at the Vidui in detail. Understand what these words are telling us. Write down on that left column 13 character traits, 13 personality traits, 13 areas that you need improvement upon. Across the columns, right, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7 days. Mark at the top of the list should be the things that you want to change the most. Take this week and concentrate on the most important aspect of change. But look at the other 22 items that are listed, 12 items that are listed, 4 items that are listed. 1 week, concentrate on the first item. The second week, change the order that's in that column. Put the first item at the bottom of the list and move every other item up. Monitor your behavior day by day. How did you improve this character trait, this personality trait that you want to remove, these actions that you want to change? How did you improve them? What opportunity did you use to change them? What opportunity did you allow yourself to continue to keep them? Evaluate honestly. Evaluate them in the way that is only can be done by you. I can look at you from the outside and see your actions, but I don't know what your consciousness is. I don't know if you were sharing even though the action looks like it's receiving. We use is the metaphor story of the parent who is disciplining his child. Don't touch the stove. The child reaches out, the parent slaps the hand. Why is the parent slapping the hand? To teach the child? To save the child from being burned? So that his friends will think he's a good parent? Or because he cares about the child? And he does not want him hurt. And he knows that it's his responsibility to teach this child to live in our physical world. The child needs to learn. The parent needs to teach. But why? What is the consciousness? How do I teach a child to change a desire to receive for oneself alone into a desire to receive in order to share? How do I teach myself to judge myself honestly, to stop lying to myself, to stop looking at myself as this good person? Because I tell you, no one in this world is a good person. If we were truly good people, we wouldn't be here. We would have moved on. We would have completed our correction, and we would be waiting for the rest of us in Engan Eden, in that place of total fulfillment. The fact that we're here, we are not good people. But how many of us know that to be true? How many of us even believe that to be true? How many of us are willing to evaluate ourselves from that perspective? I am not telling you that you are a horrible person, because relative to me, you are righteous. I'm the one who's a Rasha, an evil person, relative to me. How do I know that? Because there cannot be anyone in this world who is more evil than me. When I'm evaluating myself, I'm the Rasha. And there cannot be anyone more evil than I. There are murderers and rapists and robbers and thieves waiting in jail. I'm not in jail. But I am in jail. And the guard in my jail is the Satan, my own personal Satan. My own personal Satan that tells me I'm a good person. We have spoken gossip and slander. Lashon Hara, there is an email goes out every day on the internet from the writings of the Chafetz Chaim, a sage of the early 20th century, a sage who lived in Russia, a righteous man, who said, Mashiach has not yet come because of the sin of Lashon Hara. And he codified the laws of Halakha of Lashon Hara. It takes 2 minutes a day to read the email. Sign up for it. Receive it. Read it. Learn it. Manifest it. Evaluate it. I recommend it be one of your subjects that you utilize in that Cheshbon HaNefesh. We have caused iniquity course we have caused iniquity. We have treated one person differently than another. We have not been just. We do not evaluate, judge other people with the same scale. Each person we judge with a different scale. That's what it means to do or cause iniquity. We have caused wickedness. I truly don't know what wickedness is relative to you. But wickedness in me, I can evaluate that if I'm honest with myself. It's the desire to receive for oneself alone. How did I do that today? How did I manifest that today? How did I not change that today? If I don't evaluate that, I will never change. Nothing happens without first having a thought. Do you want to change yourself? Do you want to remove the chaos from your life? Do you want to live a life of fulfillment, of joy and happiness? Cheshbon HaNefesh is the tool to achieve it. Start with the Bidui and use it to look at the general attributes that you need to change. And then look at the specific attributes within that general attribute. Bring it down to specific. Don't keep it general. Oh, I'm not a good person. That's general. I'm not a good person because I said to so-and-so something that made them cry. Or maybe they needed to hear it. That's true. If they didn't need to hear it, you wouldn't have said it. Hashem used you as the channel for them. They needed to hear it. But did you need to be the channel to cause them pain? Do you not trust Hashem to find a way to get that message to them in the way that is appropriate for them? I'm a bad person. General. I'm a bad person because I did this specific. When you first start out with Cheshbon HaNefesh, you'll do it in the general because it's very difficult to truly look at oneself in the specific. But the goal is to reach the specific. Because change takes place at the specific level. As you change the specific, the general will change. We have acted wantonly. We have acted violently. We have acted falsely and deceitfully. We gave bad advice. We have lied. We have angered. And we have become angry. That's not in the words, that's my words. We have acted frivolously. You should know that because I cannot pronounce the word frivolously, it's telling me this is an area that I need to change. There's no coincidence in the world. There's no accidents in the world. Look at yourself honestly. Know that what you cannot say is a hint and a tool for you to know what to change. We have rebelled. We have disobeyed your orders. We have infuriated. We have committed adultery. We have been defiant. We have committed iniquities. We have committed crimes. We have caused defects. We have oppressed. We cause grief to father and mother. We have been obstinate. We have been wicked. We have corrupted. We have caused abominations. We have strayed, and we caused others to stray. And we have veered away from your good commandments, suggestions, my word, and laws, and this has not benefited us. But you are righteous regarding whatever has befallen us, for you have acted truthfully, and we have been wicked. It's time to go. Please, understand tshuva, the time, the essence, the energy of the cosmos supports the evaluation of tshuva. It supports cheshbon ha-nefesh. It is a good time to start. It takes 1 minute a day, or it takes hours and lifetimes. But it starts by making the effort. It starts by saying, I've had enough of this pain and suffering in this life. I know I've caused this pain and suffering in this life. I can change it. This is the system. This is the system of laws of cause and effect that Hashem creates and we create each and every instant. Judge yourself harshly and judge others mercifully. And because you do this, Hashem judges you with mercy when Rosh Hashanah appears. And the energy that you will receive for next year will not be based on the actions and the abuse and the negativity that you used in the energy you were given last Rosh Hashanah. It will be based on a clean slate. You will rise to the level where you are a righteous person on Rosh Hashanah. Start the process. Does anybody have any questions? I hope to speak with you tomorrow night on the Zohar class. Good night. And have a beautiful...
Thank you so much.